Good morning and welcome to our special online Christmas Day service. As we are all sitting at home in our pajamas or whatever, watching this morning, I think that we're all probably pretty glad that we do not have to go out in the blistering cold. We have a wonderful service prepared for you today, and we're going to hear from a lot of different voices, some of whom we don't hear from very often. I think that would be really wonderful. I want to remind you that this, even though this service is pre-recorded, it is being streamed live. So that means that everything that you are seeing, everybody else who's watching is seeing at the same time. So text your friends and your family and tell them to come join you at church online. Because it's on Facebook, people can join from all across the country and indeed all across the world. And also, because this is being live streamed, we can share with one another in the comments section in real time. And so I invite you to greet one another and wish each other a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year down in the comments section where we can all join together today. So with all of that said, let us prepare our hearts and our minds for a time of storytelling and a time of worship this morning. All right, Ted, you had brought some things to share with us.
I have. As I was talking with Carolyn a few days ago about what Christmas memory to mention, she said, you really have to talk about Jophus. And I said, Jophus? That's a great idea. And so this is not really one memory. It's a series of memories stitched together. Carolyn's sister Diane gave us a fabulous nativity scene before we even had children. And it came with a stable and population and all that. And we placed it on a table that was just the right height for a 3 to 5 year old to manipulate. And so all of our children in succession had Christmas drama shows every Christmas season with Jophus and Mary. This is Jophus. This, of course, is Mary. And here we have baby Jesus. Now, because my kids approach this with their own spin on things, sometimes their approach to the nativity story differed substantially from what we encounter if we just strictly read the New Testament. For example, our daughters were intent on establishing the love that bound together Jophus and Mary. So, and this is not in scripture, but why not? There'd be times when they would engage in dialogue. I love you, Mary. I love you, Jophus. And then there would be what could be called a Barbie and Ken display of affection, which goes like this. Of course they loved one another. Then there was a time a shepherd came. His name, incidentally, is Shepherd Guy. Shepherd Guy came one year and said, hey, where are the tidings? And they said, what do you mean? An angel said, there are tidings of great joy that I could go see. So where are the tidings? Often, dialogue involved the Magi. Hey guys, I brought a birthday present for the baby. Yay, thank you. They understood gold, all three kids. They had no idea what frankincense and myrrh are, but you know, I think most of us don't really know what frankincense and myrrh are. Then there was the year that Carl felt the menagerie of the cattle lowing and the sheep was insufficient. So that year, the nativity stable was populated with cattle lowing, sheep from Shepherd Guy, and a few dinosaurs. This, of course, is not likely to have occurred in evolutionary terms, but why not, after all? My point in this is that thinking back over my kids growing up with this nativity scene allows me to stitch together a patchwork quilt of memories that are Christmas memories involving the way each of them encountered, interpreted, and experienced the birth of Jesus. And while their approach was completely naive, that naivete carried with it a sense of purity and innocence and childish love that I think is healthy for all of us to reflect upon as we approach this season. So from Jophus and Mary and baby Jesus and Shepherd Guy and one of the three kings, Best Christmas wishes to you and all of yours.
So tell me about what the church used to do for Nativity.
Well, it was the children's Nativity program. They always had that on a Sunday night. And this particular year, they did it a different way. They put boards across the baptistry, and then they placed, and they covered that so it didn't look like boards, but they placed the children there as a tableau, each section of the story. And then they would open the curtains from the baptistry, and someone would be at the where they had the, and they would read the story. And then when that was done, they would close the curtains, music would play, and they would change the people behind. Sometimes they used more than one, sometimes they just changed their outfits. But then they would open it again, and the person at the pulpit would read the next section, and everybody would see that. Then they would close the curtains, play music, change them again. They used different children quite often. If not, they changed the clothing. And then they did that until they did the entire scene. And then that was it. And they closed the curtain, and that was it. And one other funny thing about that is, when they were here yesterday, Denny said, I remember they always made me, I had to be a shepherd. I would like to have been an angel or something else, but no, I had to be a shepherd. Okay. The other funny thing was that one year, they had all the little children in the back to be angels, the preschoolers. They had their little white outfits and tinsel halos all set ready to go. And I happened to be in the back side that time, and I could see them all standing there. And our son Brian was one of them, and all of a sudden I looked around. He went forward, no Brian. What in the world? So afterwards, I asked the teacher what happened. Well, he was terrified. He would not go up. He stomped his feet and said, I'm not going. He turned around and ran back into the sanctuary. So that was one of our fun memories of Brian.
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried up, found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them.
So you have a Christmas memory to share with us.
Yes, this was during my childhood in 1952. My brother was in the Marines, and if you know your history, that was during the Korean War. And so he served over in Korea and was caught in the reservoir retreat. And we were very, very worried all the time. But he did get out, and we found the news right before Thanksgiving of 1952. So it was a joyous Thanksgiving, and he returned to the United States in December of 1952. So it was a joyous Christmas, knowing that my brother was home safe. And then my sister, that same year, got engaged to her boyfriend of many years. So that was a joyous thing that happened. And the other joyous thing that happened was someone in our church gave us our very first television set. It was a Stromberg Carlson television with a dial to get to one of the four or five channels that we had at that time.
How big was the screen of your television?
It was small. It was hard to find the channel. And my parents were both from the East Coast, and so we had a traditional Christmas dinner of oyster stew. I was not happy about that, so my mother made me Campbell's tomato soup. Then the other thing that happened was my dad was the preacher at our church, and we had a candlelight service on Christmas Eve. And of course, it was just beautiful. The whole church was lit with candles. And he, at midnight, this was a late service, and at midnight, he always recited the same poem every year. So it wasn't Christmas until we heard my dad reciting, "Everywhere, everywhere, Christmas tonight." And that's my story of 1952.